complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us and for himself to speak to us through his holy word. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the psalm we read, Psalm 89, and in particular verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. This is a psalm of Ethan. Ethan the Ezrahite. We read of Ethan the Ezrahite at the time when Solomon prayed for wisdom. And the Lord gave him, Solomon, great wisdom, didn't he? Above all the kings of the earth, and above all creatures at that time of the earth, and that there would never ever be an earthly king with such wisdom as Solomon had. And the Lord said he had given Solomon wisdom above the wisdom of Ethan the Ezrahite. Then Ethan, dear friends, was a wise man taught of the Lord, taught with a great measure of wisdom. He was constrained by the Spirit to write this psalm, which is part of the holy word of God. It's headed A Maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. A maskil being a psalm for instruction, a psalm for teaching, a psalm for our learning. And it's a psalm which praises God, praises that exalts the Lord. As he begins, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. He knew what it was to find mercy. Now, dear friends, mercy is when we do not receive what we deserve, do we? We deserve the judgments of God. But mercy is through his pardoning love. And Ethan testifies of that so much that in this psalm. He said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Oh, dear friends, you know, when we come to know the mercies of the Lord, it gives us joy and rejoicing in our hearts, doesn't it? To become a sinner saved by grace. That helps, strengthens us and helps us in all aspects of our earthly life. And maintains a strength within us, in our spirit. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. That is what he'd learned. And dear friends, he didn't keep it to himself. He declared the truth which had been revealed in him, which had given him the wisdom of the knowledge of the mercy of God to all others. And dear friends, we're to take heed to these examples of the psalmists and of others in the word of God, that we should seek to walk and do the same confessions, as I would put it, of the glory of God. In this psalm, at times he is speaking, and at times it seems as if he's speaking the word of God imparted to him, as if the Lord himself is speaking. Verse 3 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Dear friends, where we read in the scriptures of the chosen, it testifies, doesn't it, there's a people known by God, a people whom he will form for his praise. Oh, dear friends, that should be our longing desire, to be among such a people. Left to ourselves, we shall never sing of the mercies of the Lord, shall we, let alone it being forever. We might enjoy many mercies, providentially, of what the Lord hath granted through his creation. Oh, we read here, the heaven are thine, the earth also is thine. And as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them, and hast provided all needs for our daily food and drink, and for health and strength. But dear friends, there's mercies far greater than that, isn't there, which the chosen of the Lord are come to know. The mercies of the forgiveness of sins. The mercy that's found through faith alone in Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Not the covenant of that was given to Moses when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. The covenant, we might say, of works. Oh, dear friends, that great covenant of the law, the covenant if one obeys the law fully, then everlasting life is the reward. But the scripture tells us the law was weak in that it depended upon mankind, depended upon our obedience for it to be fulfilled. And the Lord said, I will make a new covenant, a covenant of grace, a covenant where iniquities are forgiven and sins are remembered no more. I will make a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Yes, David, the Lord gave David a physical covenant in one sense, didn't he? That his children, his sons, his seed would be kept on the throne of Judah. And there would be a seed there of the kingship would become a king forever. Jesus Christ, born in the flesh of the seed of David. But oh, born not of the seed of man, but of the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary, that he was holy, pure, undefiled, the only one who would be able to bear the sins of many and pay the acceptable sacrifice for sin. Dear friends, how these lovely psalms and other parts of the scriptures point to the one thing needful, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to save his people, his chosen, from their sins. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. So Christ came to be the king not just of the Jews, but to be the king of all nations of his people, as it was promised way back in Abraham, in his seed, through David, yes, later on, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Well, dear friends, we are of all nations of the earth, aren't we? Of the generations that exist today. And it's Christ the same, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Dear friends, I've often quoted this verse wrongly. I've often said, blessed is the people that hear the joyful sound. Dear friends, there are many people that hear the truth as it is in Jesus. But it remains, as we might say, in their heads. It goes no further than through their ears and into their minds. But the scripture is, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The truth of it is revealed within them. What the sound of the truth of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, means unto them. And he causes them, dear friends, to respond, if I can put it that way, react. And they fall down before him and praise his name. But not only that, he brings them into the fear of God. It brings them into great fear. The scriptures speak much, doesn't it, of the fear of God. We have it here in verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Why is there joy? Why is there fear with this joyful sound? Why is there fear and joy? Why are they mixed together? Well, dear friends, you've heard me say before that fear is not like the fear of man, where we would hasten and get away from threatenings and violence or whatever mankind would rise against us, escape from it through fear. No. This fear draws us, compels us to come unto Christ, unto God, because we are sinners. And we fear lest we should die in our sins. And we fear lest our hearts remain hard as they are by nature. Dear friends, that's the effect of hearing the joyful sound through the power of the Holy Spirit. It will put within us a fear because the Holy Spirit teaches us of sins. And if there's no knowledge of our sins within us, dear friends, there would be no singing of the mercies of the Lord forever, would there? You know, that sin brings with it a fear. A fear that we shall not be forgiven because we are so great, vile sinners. We've departed so much from the law of God. Our guilt is immense. Oh, how can we then be saved? And there's a fear lest we should die in our sins. But the Holy Ghost teaches of righteousness. Not our own righteousness, not of our own works, not of our own doings, but the righteousness that is of Jesus Christ, who was made sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a lovely truth, isn't it? All that remains with me again and again and again, that unless Christ had been made sin for me, I would never be righteous in the sight of God. Dear friends, is this truth? Is it known in your hearts? That's a joyful sound, isn't it? If we know that Jesus came into the world to save sinners such as each one of us, and we are taught by the Holy Spirit, oh, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We are taught by the Holy Spirit those words of Jesus, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, through the burden of our sins, and I will give thee rest." Oh, what a joyful sound to be called by the grace of the Lord Jesus in the power of the Spirit to leave the hateful world of sin, to turn to the fold and enter in, the fold of which Christ is our shepherd, the good shepherd who has given his life for the sheep. You know, dear friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ, oh, it's a simple gospel in effect, isn't it? In its truth, but great in its effect. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." Dear friends, that's the effect of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, to glorify in the truth as it is in Jesus, because we are such great sinners. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, because, dear friends, as we continue in our daily lives, there's not a day goes by without us being yet sinners, does it? So we fear is to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Dear friends, this word speaks of the saints, the assembly of the saints, and of in reverence of all them that are about him. Who are these saints? Dear friends, they are the chosen people of God who come to be taught in this way by the Spirit, and to know their dependence upon that shed blood of Jesus Christ to blot out all their sins from before the Father's face, to wash their souls clean from every sin. Oh, to look upon him, Jesus, by faith, to behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, dear friends, what a precious gospel. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, lest he should turn away his face from us. Well, we do read the Lord does hide his face from us. We read in the Isaiah, don't we, concerning the Lord's people, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." And dear friends, those times come in the lives of the chosen when they fear they've lost the presence of God and the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, that love seems to have been overcome again by the hardness of self-will and determination. And oh, and when troubles and tribulations arise, as the Scripture says they will do, we begin to doubt the love and the mercy of God. Unbelief rises up. Dear friends, these are the things that make us fear, aren't they? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence, that's godly fear, of all them that are about him. Dear friends, when we come, such a time as this, to worship God, a time appointed upon the first day of the week when Christ rose from the dead, how do we come? Do we come in godly fear? Dear friends, do we come knowing that, oh, we have failed again? We've come so short of the glory of God. Our daily lives, although we have much to be thankful for, yet within our hearts and our spirit, oh, we've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. We've transgressed His word. We have not fulfilled His will. Then we come, don't we, with fear, but godly fear. That godly fear, dear friends, which, as we've said, brings us to cry for Him for mercy. And by faith, dear friends, to know that He is a faithful Saviour. That blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And when we come again to be assured of it, we come again to hear His voice, that voice of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary. And oh, dear friends, what a joyful sound that is. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Dear friends, there's no greater blessing, is there? No greater blessing than to know this joyful sound, that Christ came in to save sinners such as we, such as I, guilty that I am. You know, we read of many sounds, don't we, in the scriptures, especially the sound of the trumpet. We read in the law of Moses how the trumpet was to be sounded on certain occasions for certain reasons. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. This was the journeyings of the children of Israel. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, and shall blow an alarm for their journeys. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. If ye go to war in your land against the enemy, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. The blowing of these trumpets, different sounds at different times, for different purposes, but all centred, dear friends, on the mercy of God, of His people, and that they should remember the Lord their God, and He would save them as they blew the trumpets in faith and trust, that He would deliver them from their enemies. But dear friends, there was one other great big sound of the trumpet, wasn't there, which the people rejoiced to hear. We read of it in Leviticus, the trumpet at the sound of the Jubilee. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you. Ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. All those which had been sold, who had become poor and needy, and now belong to others. They were in a certain way in captivity. But in the year after the seventh time of 7 years, seven times seven of the Sabbath years, in the 50th year, the one next year, they will blow this trumpet, and those that are in captivity, they are set free to return to their possession. Oh, we read in another part of the word, they shall, his people, shall possess their possessions. And the Jubilee shall be that 50th year unto you. It is the Jubilee, it is holy unto you. Every man shall return unto his possessions. Dear friends, the sound of that trumpet. Oh, what a joyful sound it must have been to those who were in servitude and captivity. It's the type, isn't it, of the trumpet of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being sounded at the appointed time to set at liberty those that are bound in sin and iniquity. Dear friends, that didn't happen every year. It happened when the Lord had appointed it. And dear friends, so it is today. We don't speak of the 50 years, do we? No. But the Lord has appointed a time when all his people, all his chosen, all that are to be called by grace, shall hear that voice of the trumpet of the gospel. As it was when the Apostle Paul was sent to preach to Thessalonica. Dear friends, it came at a certain time in accordance with the will of God. And the word was, the gospel, sorry, was not in word only. Yes, they heard it in word, but it was not in word only. It was in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It was the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. It had a glorious effect upon their heart. It didn't just abide in their head. No, it set them at liberty from nature's darkness, brought them into the marvellous light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, you children, do you know what it is to hear a joyful sound? You know, at times you perhaps have fears. You're frightened. Perhaps you'll be on your own somewhere. Or perhaps it's in the dark. Or perhaps it's you're in a crowd of people, perhaps in a shopping area, and you become separated from your mother or your father. And you feel alone and you become very frightened. Oh, but if you hear the voice of your mother or father calling you, they call your name. What a joyful sound that is, isn't it? Oh, you run to them, you embrace them. Your sorrow is turned into joy. Well, that's like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it sounds in a sinner's heart. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, called by grace. For as we read in this in Isaiah, about a fear not, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I've redeemed thee. I've paid the price for all your sins. Oh, that's the joyful sound, isn't it? Which comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my mind goes to that woman of the city, a great sinner, who came into the feast when Jesus was with Simon the Pharisee. She came in, and oh, she came in such godly repentance, sorrow of heart because of all of her sins. She was bound to them. She couldn't separate herself from them. And she washed Jesus' feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, anointed them with the ointment which she'd brought with her. She didn't say any words. But Jesus, God, looks upon the heart. He knew the broken heart. And that's an acceptable sacrifice for sin. A broken and a contrite heart. And his words to her were, "Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee." Oh, dear friends, what a joyful sound that was. What would be the effect of it? She wouldn't walk in her sins anymore after that, would she? It would be the blessing of her soul. And that's the effect of this joyful sound of our pardon sealed and peace with God. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, not in sin anymore. They will grieve over it when they sin. Or they will mourn over it when their sins separate between them and their God. But they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And dear friends, that will be the joy and rejoicing of a sinner's heart all their days. Oh, at times it may be lost, as we might say, as I've already said, because of our iniquities and our sins, which we shall be committing all the days of our lives to the day of our death, whether in thoughts or words or deeds. But that light given to us in the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus will never be fully extinguished. It will never be completely lost. What did we read of in verse 33? "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." My faithfulness. Dear friends, the Lord is faithful, isn't he? He is faithful that hath promised. None can ever pluck thee out of my hand. None can ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I give unto mine own, my sheep, eternal life, those for whom I have died. I have given my life a sacrifice for their sin. I give unto them eternal life. And I will never forsake them. I will supply all their needs. They're mine, forever mine. And nothing can separate them from my love. Oh, dear friends, what a sacred truth this is in Jesus. Oh, these precious promises. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound of the Lord's faithfulness. Faithful that hath promised. That enables us to walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. That he that hath begun a good work in us, he will perform it. He will perform it. We shan't be able to. But he will perform that goodness, that mercy, that loving kindness, that pardoning of our sins all the days of our life. It's a humble walk, isn't it? It's not a walk in which we exalt ourselves and are proud and can point the finger at others and say, "Oh, we are better than you." No. It humbles us. Why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me? Who would forever lie in hell were not thy salvation free? Oh, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Dear friends, the light of his countenance means a view of Christ by faith. To walk by faith, not by our own just earthly sight and our earthly reasoning and our earthly intellect. Yes, we have to use it, of course. But committing our way and all that is upon us before the Lord, for him to bring to pass, For in our own ways, we devise our own ways, don't we? As the scripture tells us in Proverbs, a man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Oh, dear friends, if we know that truth, oh, how thankful we should be that he keeps us in the way that is everlasting. As David prayed, search me, O God, know my heart. This is the prayer of those who know the joyful sound. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Who is this good man? The saints. They don't feel to be good. They don't feel to be saints. They ever know that they're sinners. But in God's sight, they're his saints because he gave his only begotten Son to bring them to believe in him, that they should not perish but have everlasting life. Thou art all fair, my love, there's no spot in thee. Oh, this wonderful gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, dear friends, have we heard it? It will have had a gracious effect upon us if we have. We shall have to turn about from all our own ways and our own determinations. Things which were not grievous or sinful to us before. Or, dear friends, we shall consider them what is right now in the sight of God. All things are passed away. We see all things in a new light. Oh, the effect of the Spirit upon our hearts. To look unto Jesus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's walking, O Lord, in the light of his countenance. Dear friends, walking in this light by faith is to seek to do the will of God. All those who have no desire, dear friends, to seek the Lord for his mercies, those who are still in nature's darkness, they will have no desire, will they, to do the will of God? They will have no desire to walk in the ways of God. But those that look unto Jesus because of this appearing to him in the power of his Spirit, they will love the Lord Jesus because of his love for them. They will love him because he hath first loved them. And he has said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, what a word that is. What a question. If ye love me, do we? Then, dear friends, yes, we've heard this joyful sound, haven't we? Oh, I have blotted out thy transgressions as a thick cloud. Remembered thy sins no more. I've shed my love within you by the Holy Ghost. I've changed your heart. I've renewed your will. I've turned your feet to Zion's hill to do that which is commanded to the honour and glory of Christ and of God. Oh, dear friend, do we fight against it? To walk, O Lord, in the light of his countenance. To look unto him, yes, to love one another as he hath loved us. That's how we're to walk in the light of his countenance, isn't it? Not to bring forth strife and divisions and confusions because of our own will and of our own desires and the lusts of our flesh. Oh, we can easily stir up strife, can't we? Our lips, our tongue, as the scripture says, like a rudder of a ship. It's a little thing, but, oh, we can turn about the whole ship. And now we can set on fire things through what we say and what we do to bring utter confusion and distress. Dear friends, that's not the way of those who walk in the light of the Lord's countenance. They seek to walk in the Spirit of God, And if we've not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. Oh, dear friends, let these things rest in our hearts. What did Jesus say? I delight to do thy will, O God. Well, dear friends, that is the answer to this blessing, is the people that know the joyful sound. They delight to do thy will, O God, and walk in the light of his countenance, knowing, oh, his eye is upon them. His eye to keep them as the apple of his eye from all sin and the ways of evil. To be kept in the way everlasting, that one's end is everlasting peace. In thy name, the next verse says, they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Not in our own righteousness. Dear friends, we can easily be tempted to go about, can't we? To establish our own righteousness, and have not submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God. Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, dear friends, we submit to his righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. That whenever we come, oh, to fail and fall in our daily walk, there's a throne of grace to which we can come through Christ Jesus, pleading again forgiveness of our sins, to establish again, oh, us, the restoring of our soul in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, David prayed that, didn't he? He knew it. David was a sinner. David knew what it was to plead forgiveness of his sins. And David knew the joyful sound of the forgiveness of his sins. Yes, David came to know the sorrow of his sin when, oh, he had trouble in his family at the end of his days, didn't he? But he never was without the joyful sound. He hath made with me, God hath made with me, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. And sure. Dear friends, those things ordered in all things and sure. Oh, was the forgiveness of his sins. That when he died, oh, we would be taken to glory. To be forever with the Lord. David was given as a witness unto the people. And dear friends, here in this psalm, Ethan is a witness unto us. This psalm of instruction, this psalm in which we must, oh, look into and plead for the Lord to reveal it in our hearts, that we be among such. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Dear friends, I pray that each of us here this morning will come assuredly to know what it is to be a sinner, saved by grace. Christ is all of our glory. Christ the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. Then all things are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Oh, may we know this rejoicing of our heart. Object of our first desire, Jesus, crucified for me. Dear friends, there's our happiness. And we can walk in the light of his countenance, knowing he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's the blessing. Amen.